Good Monday morning, everyone, and welcome into
What a Monday
first.
Morning, Jenna Wolf.
Oh, I knew this was going to happen. As soon as the Lakers came out on
what
top, I said, we are all going to be victim to Nick's victim. Fantastic.
And look who's with us. Nobody could be better.
It's great
morning,
to have
everybody.
You, Steven.
Great to see you.
Oh, we're a little bit
my
closer
God.
Now.
Hi, buddy.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
What a day.
You're in a good mood.
I'm in great mood.
If you're in a good
great
mood.
Great weekend.
We are all in a good mood,
Thank you.
Nick.
Thank you, Jenna.
We got a great show for you today. Here we go. Cowboys owner Jerry Jones ready to offer Dak the richest contract in league history. While Patriots owner Robert Kraft, he's taken the opposite approach, removing himself from the Brady negotiations. And in the battle of LeBron versus Kawhi, at least for a day, the Kang was Kang. That was for you, Steven Jackson.
Nice.
LeBron James had himself a weekend. Friday night against Giannis and the league-leading Bucks. 37-8-8 to get the win.
Oh, Kawhi, can't look.
Yesterday?
Can't turn your eyes, Kawhi.
Against Kawhi and the Red Hot Clippers?
Not big enough, man.
28-7-9 for another win. That is 11 of 12
Marcus
for the Lakers.
Morris. LeBron
Frank Vogel
stopper.
Called
Marcus
it the
Morris.
Best two games as a Laker for LeBron. Mic dropped, statement made, point taken. LeBron is good. All right, Nick. What message did LeBron James send this weekend? I assume there was a message that was sent.
Yeah, he's still the best player in the world, and it's not close. And everybody knows it, and people tried for, ever since LeBron's injury, to create a narrative where it wasn't the case. And he had the schedule gods, he did him a favor this weekend. Post-All-Star game, games really matter. Both teams, all three teams really, Lakers, Bucks, Clippers, essentially at full strength. All right, let's go see what you can do. And what LeBron did was, in the first game, said, Giannis, I'm going to take you out of the game after you scored 10 points in the first 4 minutes. You're going to have no impact while I dominate on both ends of the court. And 40 hours later, against Kawhi Leonard, he says, I'm going to do the same thing. I'll guard you as much as you guard me, and you're not big enough, you're not strong enough, and you are not versatile enough in order to do for your team what I can do for mine. Because while LeBron and Kawhi this weekend scored almost the exact same amount of points, there was one category that was 9-0 assists. Because LeBron, if you build a team to stop him the way the Clippers have, he will find the open man. And if you're the Clippers and you have built a team around Kawhi Leonard's strengths, well, that means scoring and defense, no playmaking. And so what you saw was LeBron reminding everyone that the gap between him and the next best player in basketball is as large as it's ever been, which in year 17, Steven, we've never seen something like that. Third most minutes ever, 35 years old, still the most reliable player in the league.
It's definitely large right now because KD's not in the league.
Sure. I'll give you that.
But he's definitely the best player in the world in my mind, too. I had the Lakers winning the championship this year. I think the biggest thing about this game was he kind of figured out that he has to post up more. Him and Kawhi, they're definitely going to match up in points, and we know LeBron's a better playmaker, a better passer and all that. But I think, for the most part, the Clippers didn't do a good job of shrinking the floor like they did the first two games. The first two games, they made LeBron pass the ball. They shrink the floor, and they did a great job. They let him drive last night. They let him get to the basket. And like Doc Rivers said, you let LeBron walk to the basket, in any game, you're going to lose. Kawhi didn't have a good game last night. He didn't have a great defensive game. I think LeBron just took it to him. The first two games, he felt like they punked him. The first two games, and that's basically what the Clippers did. And he heard all the chatter that he's soft. He heard all the chatter that Kawhi has his number and all that. He came out tonight. Even though this game didn't matter to him,
right,
he came out last night to win that game.
But do you think he went into this weekend, Friday night with Giannis, yesterday with Kawhi, maybe with a little bit more edge, wanting to show the league, the fans, all of it, kind of backing up the whole Washed King thing we've been hearing about all season long?
Well,
is there a part of him that consciously knew this was what he wanted to do?
I don't think so. I think his motivation has a lot to do with Kobe. His motivation has a lot to do with him and what he wants to do for his team. I don't really think he's worried about Giannis or Kawhi or anybody else. LeBron know what his goal is to win the championship, and he know what the role he has to play on his team. Anybody that come in that arena, I think his job and his focus is going to be the same regardless.
Stack, you don't think it was an MVP narrative in his mind?
Nah, but how many years that he was supposed to win MVP that he didn't get it? So I don't think he's thinking about it. I think he's going out there and
really?
Play a game. Yeah, I don't think he's thinking about it. Not at all.
The only
person that thinks that speak about it more is AD. AD talk about it more than LeBron do.
Well, Nick talks about it a lot.
Nick don't count. Nick and Shannon Sharpe don't count.
I also have said all year long that Giannis is the MVP of the league, to be fair. But it's close, though, now.
I think it's more than close.
You think LeBron's taken over the lead?
Yes.
I think he is the closest he's been all year. And what he had, I said on Thursday and Friday that there's a quarter of the season left, and if you treated the season like a game, we were heading in the fourth quarter, and Giannis had the equivalent of a 13-point lead. Can we show what LeBron did against Giannis and Kawhi this weekend and what they did against him? Because to me, this is a 9-0 run. When you outscore him, out-rebound him, way out of system, play better defense, your team wins both games. That is how you turn the MVP discussion, which was Giannis ahead by quite a bit, to now it's a real discussion. And here's where I think you're both right, Jenna and Stack, to a degree. I think he understands the reason these games are so important is because you are going to have to go through at least Milwaukee and maybe Milwaukee and the Clippers to win the title. And they were two of the only teams in the league you hadn't beaten all year.
Right.
The other two were I think Toronto and Indiana, they only played once. So the teams that matter, the only teams you haven't beaten all year. And so in that regard, it's about a championship. But the way the Lakers win the championship is in those series, he's the best player. And that they go into those series with the collective confidence of a team saying, we've beaten these guys, we know how to beat these guys. If they had lost both games this weekend, even though they'd still be first in the West by a mile, and you say, oh, okay, so they're 0-5 against the two teams most people think are their biggest competition, I think while it might not shake LeBron's confidence, I think some of his teammates shakes their confidence a little bit about if they have to face either of these teams in a playoff
series. You don't want to go into the playoffs against the team that you didn't beat all in a regular season. 08, we beat Dallas the whole regular season. We was the 8 seed, they was the 1 seed, we beat them in the first round. It's mental, it's definitely mental. So you want to have some success against those teams, and definitely the Clippers. I don't think Milwaukee's going to be a problem. I don't even think Milwaukee's going to get out the East.
Ooh,
you know, I think people's really going to start to hone in on Greek Freak's game. He has a lot of holes in this game, and they exploited him in the playoffs last year, and I think they'll do it again this year.
All right, well, the Lakers and Clippers do play one more time this season, April 9th, I believe it is, the makeup
Third
Kobe
night of
game.
A back-to-back-to-back for the Lakers. I wonder if everyone plays.
You're in a good mood, though, today.
He should be.
Great weekend.
I feel it. Starting with the best connection of the weekend, Lonzo to Zion for two long-range alley-oops in less than 2 minutes.
Those are separate plays, America. This one was the first one. And now look, it looks like we're running the same play on a loop. Well, that now it is a loop. But those were two separate near full-court alley-oops or three-quarter-court alley-oops from Lonzo to Zion. Here's the second one. Look, he's about 8 feet further up the court. This dude's unbelievable, Stack.
He got ball looking real good right now.
Yeah. Yeah,
you think it's a Zion factor?
Oh, it's definitely a Zion factor.
All right, moving on. Speaking of the Zion factor, best windmill of the weekend, Zion taking home these honors all by him. Wait for it. Self. That is beautiful.
Yeah, at that weight, that's special.
What do you think he weighs? We had this argument
265.
Last week.
265.
Oh, no, come on,
265?
Yeah.
No. He's listed at 285.
308, Stack.
So 308.
What's the body frame difference for him and Ron Artest? He's bigger than Ron Artest, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Ron Artest was 265.
He's bigger than Ron Artest.
We're saying he's more than 265.
Oh, he's more. Yeah, okay.
308.
You're more. Low on.
Oh, yeah, I think I'm low on.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Y'all saying he's 280?
Yeah.
Wow.
200, I said.
No way.
308. Best dancing coach of the weekend. A lot to choose from here. We went with Wisconsin head coach Greg Gard breaking it down after winning the Big Ten title. That's awesome.
Can we be honest on why this is in here?
Wait, guys dancing?
No, because Pepper, our producer, went to Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, we got to put Wisconsin footage in.
Share the Big Ten title.
I didn't know what school that
all
was.
All right, on to the best almost spot of the weekend. Like Alex Len, C.J. McCollum. Getting chippy in the Kings-Blazers game.
I've seen more pushing on the kindergarten playground.
Come on, but you got like C.J. saying, you ain't going to punk me, Alex Len.
No.
Where's the punches?
Steven, man, Stack, you ain't want your them league to, anymore.
It was one of the
why even push?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, if you're going to push, you might as well go and throw punches.
I'm not going to ever push anyone from the Ukraine.
Alex Lynn pushes him, and CJ says, I ain't about it.
Yeah, I never push anyone from the Ukraine.
I agree.
It's something
extra
I tell my
fear
boys.
Of Eastern European NBA players.
Anybody
all
can
right,
get
finally.
It. Anybody
yeah,
well, can get
course.
It.
Of course.
On to
oh,
the best
no.
nightmare of the week.
Oh,
wild
yes.
For you,
I told you.
Robert.
I told America and the Nordic states, watch out for the Nordic nightmare. Nick Wright texted me,
so
said,
mad.
Nordic nightmare wins. I said, I know Nordic nightmare won. Next up, we're kicking it around. Looking in WBA, maybe Anthony Joshua, maybe Ruiz. No, no, after Anthony's okay. next fight, Joshua's next fight.
Slow your roll.
That's
kind of early for that.
Maybe take Ruiz next.
Yeah.
I'm so
I'll take Ruiz.
Mad at you about that.
Why?
You lost money, let me guess.
Yeah, because I wouldn't have bet this fight. I'd have watched it,
look
but I wouldn't have
boom,
bet the
boom,
fight.
Boom, 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 boom.
But what did Wilds know? He just liked the nickname.
No,
but, he didn't know anything
great.
About
right,
the
which
fight.
Which is why I bet against his guy, and I bet on a guy that was minus 800. Do you know what type of money you have to lay to win any money in minus 800?
I don't know.
A lot.
Y'all think y'all are the only two guys watching this fight, too.
It's true.
North Nightmare.
No.
He's back.
Hiring is challenging, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. Place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. That place is ZipRecruiter.com/FTF. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job sites, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply to your job. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, to try ZipRecruiter for free, our listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/FTF. That's ZipRecruiter.com/FTF. ZipRecruiter.com/FTF. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Back here with former All-Pro running back Brian Westbrook. All right, Brian, we're talking about the Patriots. With free agency now just 9 days away, or in other words, with the possibility of the Patriots losing Tom Brady now just 9 days away.
Stop,
Wilds,
Jenna,
it is a very great possibility.
Could you rewrite that?
The assumption is that I won't rewrite it, but the other assumption is that Patriots owner Robert Kraft would finally get involved, keeping TB12 in New England. But according to a recent report, Kraft will not interfere with the Brady-Belichick negotiations. Nick, I'll start with you. Hearing that news, what does that mean for Tom Brady?
What does it mean for Kevin Wilds?
Yeah,
I think it
question.
Means tears on the horizon.
No, stop it.
Listen, I'm
gone.
A truth teller.
I know. I know that.
And one of the reasons I don't have a lot of friends and Jenna Wolf vacillates on whether she likes me or doesn't like me is I have the inability.
It's a daily thing.
I have the inability to lie to people. And this ain't great if you want Brady back with the Patriots.
Okay, what do you want the report to say? Report. Kraft will interfere in negotiations?
Kraft will stick up for the guy who he stuck up for a couple years ago, who he called considers his son.
How about any report that gives us a reason to believe Tom Brady's back? How about the San Francisco 49ers, John Lynch, or Kyle Shanahan sending out a tweet, a text,
that's good.
An IG live video? Hey, just
TikTok,
for the record,
they could be dancing.
TikTok, whatever it is. Just for the record, Jimmy Garoppolo is our quarterback next year, and all this is nonsense. I haven't seen even a smoke signal from them on that.
Yeah.
They've been eerily quiet. The Patriots have had 64 days to get a deal done with Tom Brady. And what, there's been one phone call? There's been one phone call between Belichick and Brady? The idea that it could be good news for Brady coming back, that Kraft, the only person in the organization that has veto power over Belichick, and the person whose money it actually is, and the person who's on the record saying, I want him back more than anything else, that guy's going to stay out of it, to me, is further evidence that Tom Brady's going to play football next year for a different team.
Do you really believe that he has veto power over Belichick, though? I mean, because you've mentioned all these last couple weeks that Belichick would say, hey, if you undermine me in this decision or go against what my wishes here, then I'm out.
Which is why I think he wouldn't use his veto power. I think he does have the power by definition.
Of course he has the power.
But I think he won't use it which if it, what's good power if you're not going to use it, won't use it because of what it would do to what he thinks could be the next decade with he and Belichick.
To me, it seems like, and I think they've been reported, that the CBA is probably the biggest issue with Tom Brady not getting this contract offer at this point. They're trying to figure out what's going to be the logistics in the CBA to make sure that we can fit a contract within the rules and work it within the CBA with the new collective bargaining agreement. So I think that's the biggest thing. But I think at the end of the day, it's going to come down to our game's best quarterback that has ever played, Tom Brady, and the game's best coach that has ever coached, Bill Belichick, sitting in a room trying to put their egos aside. And I know this may be a hard thing to do and say to each other, I can't win the NFL title. I can't win a ring without you, and you can't win a ring without me.
Boy, I agree with half of that.
Well, here's the thing. Can Bill Belichick win and beat Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, all these young quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson? Well, with who? Andy Dalton?
Cam?
Bridgewater?
But those are big question marks. Those are still question marks. In Tom Brady, you have a guy that's won consistently throughout his career. He can get that team over the hump, and you're still going to have to put weapons around no matter who that person is going to be at your quarterback. Why not the best that has ever done it, especially in a place that he's done it for the last 19 seasons?
Can I ask you a totally unprofessional question?
No.
What does your gut tell you is going to happen?
As a diehard fan, you really think
this is going to work out, especially after what you just heard now in Brady's favor with him coming back?
Yes, my gut is no news is good news. No news is good news. And I assume Brady will be back. And one of the reasons, Brian gave me hope. Brian, you said when you sat down with Andy Reid, you're just like, hey, let's hammer out the deal. Like, well, I believe that's going
to
happen. Like, enough is enough.
Let's hammer out the deal.
I wanted to be back, and I think Tom wants to be back as well. And
yeah,
I think that Bill Belichick wants Tom back, but the question is the price. And if you're going to have to pay a quarterback $23 million anyway, let's say you have to pay a guy like Andy Dalton $23 million or $20 million, wouldn't you rather have Tom Brady for $28 or $30 million?
Yeah.
I would be willing to spend that, especially if you're going to get $12 million in the collective bargaining side of things.
Brian, what happened, though, the last time you tried to hammer it out with Andy Reid?
Well, it didn't go so well.
Where'd you end up?
Tell us the story.
We didn't actually try to hammer it out at that time. At that time, he was saying, listen, you're not good enough to play here. We drafted someone else to replace you. But that's the big difference here in New England.
Uh-oh.
They didn't draft someone else to replace Tom Brady.
Were you like, all right, sounds good?
We did this already once before. It worked out for me.
No, I was like,
well, no.
That's not how the phone call went for me. The phone call went, hey, Brian, we're not going to pick your contract back up, and you've been released. That's how the conversation went.
How long was the conversation?
It was 5 minutes, maybe. It was just me and Andy, we caught up for three of those minutes. In the last couple minutes, he was telling me that, hey, we're not renewing your contract because we have LeSean McCoy. He's going to be a Hall of Fame type of running back in the future.
Yeah, we don't have LeSean McCoy.
Well, that's the point. They don't have a backup. They don't have the next guy. That's why I always feel that there's going to be a way to get Tom Brady back in the Patriot
uniform. What's wrong, Nick?
No, I just think that I think people are bending over backwards to ignore all the writing on the wall on this. And
don't mention the house.
Maybe I'll end up being dead wrong, but we have plenty of what I would call circumstantial evidence that Brady and the Patriots are both ready for a breakup, and almost no evidence that they are ready for a reconciliation. And the CBA point is one that I have heard multiple times, so I think it's a valid point. My rebuttal would be, the new CBA is now out there. Whether it's going to be ratified or not, we don't know. You've got really smart people whose entire job is to work out contracts for teams and entire job is to understand the CBA. It is not that difficult to read the 463-page document, understand what the new CBA would be, and present Tom, hey, CBA ratified, here's the contract offer. CBA not ratified, here's the contract offer. Would either of these be palatable to you so we at least know? It's not like the CBA at this point is a black box. We just don't know if it's going to come into play yet. So they could have dueling offers, like one with the current CBA, one with the new CBA. I don't think it's about that. I think it's about the fact that Tom Brady believes what I think Wild still believes, what I think you still believe, that he's still a championship level quarterback. And Bill Belichick does not. And so whether it is going from Brady to Dalton or Brady even to Mariota or Brady to Bridgewater, I think Belichick is dealing with the fact either way, If we are going to compete for a championship, it's going to be coaching and defense. So do I want to tether myself to a legend and while on his severe decline at top of the market prices? I don't think he wants to do it. And Kraft isn't going to intervene.
Well, clearly it seems that's the case now. But then this isn't about money at all. What's the conversation that Belichick and Brady have if this really isn't about money? Brady proving that he can still do it? Belichick trying to show him that he can't by showing him the numbers? This is what you did this year. Take a look at
it. Well, I think it's about money in this regard. I think Belichick doesn't think he's a horrific quarterback. And at $10 million a year, it would be a bargain. Right. But Brady's market is going to be north of $25 million a year. I don't think Belichick values him at that. And the only person in the organization who bases it on emotion rather than logistics is a guy who's saying, I'm not getting involved. I think that's bad news.
At some point, Tom Brady will be able to go to San Francisco if he wants to, be able to go to Tennessee. And he may go to those places and say, you know what? There's actually no place like home. There's actually no place like New England. I think that the Patriots may be counting on that as well.
Except he no longer has a home because he sold it. It's on the market.
On the market.
On the market.
Not sold.
Trying to.
I'm going to put in a bid just to mess with Wilds. I wouldn't pass the bet.
What you get stuck with. Fresh off that win over the Bucks on Friday, LeBron and AD were back at it yesterday against Kawhi and the Clippers. Business as usual for the 35-year-old, 17-year veteran in LeBron James. Finished 28-7-9 while the Brow added 30-8. That's a lot of numbers. Lakers get the win. Stack, what did you take away from this game?
Well, they had to win this game. It was a statement game. They got beat twice against the Clippers last two games. And like I said, LeBron heard all the talk. And they wanted to win this game. They wanted to shut the Clippers up and let them know that the first two games we wasn't in our right mind. We didn't play well. We didn't attack the challenge like we should have. This game, LeBron hit first. AD, I think AD is having an all-star. I mean, MVP season as well. Everybody's talking about LeBron. AD is having an MVP season as well. And LeBron, the Lakers, not in this position without AD. LeBron was on this team last year. They didn't make the playoffs. I think AD is a big part of this team, and they're not giving AD enough credit.
So my takeaway from this game is Clippers fans, Clippers proponents in the media, my friend Marcellus Wiley, maybe the most notable of them. What you got left, bro?
They quiet this morning.
What you got left? Listen, going into this game, every metric, eye test, stat said the Lakers were better. Who has the best player? The Lakers. Who has the best record? The Lakers. Who has the better defense? The Lakers. Who has the better offense? The Lakers. Who's the healthier team? The Lakers. Okay. But the Clippers won the first two meetings. Two games, both of which tied after three quarters. We're talking about all the Clippers had to hang on to, barely, was fourth quarter of the first game of the season and the final 4 minutes of the game on Christmas. That's it. Now, rip that up, that's gone now. Now that doesn't exist anymore. I actually kind of needed that. That was the box score from the game. Should rip up different piece of paper. Neither here nor there. Thanks, Stack. I appreciate
you.
You don't need
it
anyway. I'm good.
Yeah, great team.
So what you got? And this did point out a flaw with trying to build a team specifically to stop LeBron and ignore Anthony Davis. Because they got nobody. Clipper fans in my mentions. Clipper, Daryl. Oh, Zubac is a rim defender. Okay, Zubac.
Yeah, right.
How many minutes you get, Zubac? 13, 1 of 4. Good job. Good effort.
Clipper, Daryl is in your mentions?
Absolutely. So the problem with building a team to stop LeBron is LeBron won't let you because LeBron will pass the ball. And if you're going to build a team to stop LeBron, you better have five guys for it, because if you have one who can't, enter Lou Williams, he'll play his ass off the court. Oh, you're going to play Lou Williams crunch time. Lou Williams, who is an awesome player, but cannot defend. He will put the Steph Curry NBA Finals treatment on him. I will hunt you on screens. I will hunt you on screens till you get matched up. And if you send a double, guess what? Avery Bradley, welcome back to the team. So what you going to do? There is no right answer to this morning if you're a Clippers fan.
Well, I think, too, and what a lot of people are not talking about is the Lakers team has basically been intact all season. The Clippers, you got Kawhi out. You got Paul George out. You're trying to add new players. They really don't have an identity yet. They've been able to beat some teams, but as you see, when it comes towards the end of the season, coming to playoffs, not having chemistry, not being on the same page, it's going to hurt these guys. And I think they got to try to acclimate everybody now before they get into the playoffs, because they can get an early exit not having no chemistry.
My take was LeBron heard all the noise. And this has been happening since Kawhi's New Balance commercial. Came out last year. The commercial is called Rain Over LA, R-E-I-G-N. So this is his ride, beautiful car. And then there's a little crown. And everything is on purpose in these commercials. We know everything is on purpose. Great, great royalty music, by the way, Justin, fantastic. So then you got Kawhi, so he's like, oh, now you're gonna be the king of LA? Fast forward to December, Giannis is playing. Hey, guess what? I'm the new king. Like, all right, another crown symbol. Like, everyone's going after the king. Very aggressive putting on of the crown there. Yeah. Now, after yesterday's game, this is the how you treat a crown. It's gentle. A gentle placement. Caruso loves it.
And I feel like I came out with another commercial that had another crown.
More crowns?
This weekend.
Yes.
It was the
better commercial.
No.
It was a better commercial.
Balance,
yeah.
Another crown was in it.
Okay. Yeah. Lots of crowns.
We're all kings.
So I just feel like LeBron is not out there saying, I'm the king, everybody. But there's his friends are doing it for him. Kuzma's literally putting the crown on. AD is saying he's MVP. I just feel like this crown stuff, he hears everything.
And go ahead.
I just separated. I don't call him the king. I call him the Kang.
Oh, the Kang. I'm
K-A-N-G.
Sorry.
K-A-N-G.
K-A-N-G.
Kang.
There's a couple other sneaky elements here that I think Steven alluded to. One is it's not just the Clippers have had guys in and out of the lineup. All of a sudden, Marcus Morris comes to the team. Mm-hmm. Now he gets... Marcus Morris just eternal green light.
A lot of minutes, too.
30 minutes? How's Landry Shamet feeling? He's playing 30 minutes a night, shooting 40% from three. Reggie Jackson, all-time great selfless winner Reggie Jackson. Come in, take his minutes. Now Landry Shamet's on the bench. Marcus Morris always thinks he's got the green light, and now we're reshuffling the lineup a little bit more. And you make those additions, and you still don't have the single most important thing if you're going to beat a LeBron, Anthony Davis team in the playoffs. A big guy at the rim. Mm-hmm. And so this is, going into the weekend, I said, the Bucks game and a Bucks series, if they play in the finals, has to be a LeBron series. The Clippers game and the Clippers series has to be an Anthony Davis series on both ends of the court. Meeting guys at the rim and being the ultimate mismatch. And while we are talking about LeBron, did he take over the MVP race and over the course of the weekend he was the best player, yesterday, Anthony had 30 on 19 shots. LeBron had 28 on 17 shots. Anthony, in both games, slow first halves, monster second halves, great plays on both ends, taking charges. Mm-hmm. They don't have an answer for it. And so I just, what is the argument this morning that the Clippers can beat this team in a series? Doesn't even speak to the home court advantage, which was a travesty for the Clippers and would be in a 7-game series. I don't know what the argument left is. Not going to get a better game out of Paul George than you got yesterday. So I don't know what the argument is for the Clippers right now.
Me neither. I mean, I had the Lakers winning it. I just think that they can play better. If you watch the game, the Clippers can play a lot better. And they can play a lot better on offense. A lot of the guys they brought in to score points didn't have a good game last night. So,
Stack, do you think that's a chemistry thing?
It's definitely a chemistry thing. You can't have so many dominant personalities out there and just throw them out there and expect them to work. You know, Morris has a dominant personality. Jackson has a dominant personality. You have to get these guys to buy in some kind of way.
So what would you do or what should Doc do?
Well, it's hard at the beginning of the season. That's why you have training camp. That's why you have all this stuff, so guys can bond and know each other. It's hard to throw guys in at the end of the season, a month or two before playoffs, and expect it to work. They got the guys that can do it, and Doc Rivers is a coach that can get guys to do it, but it's still hard to do.
Maybe this was just their personalities, but watching this game, did it look like LeBron wanted it more than Kawhi? LeBron, I mean, he would have a bucket and he would all the different high fives and he got all excited with Rondo. And Kawhi seemed a little, I don't want to say lackadaisical because that's a little bit more towards his personality, but it really seemed like LeBron wanted it desperately and Kawhi was just out there playing a game.
Well, to me, LeBron deferred to AD the first two games. Last night he didn't. He didn't defer. He came out, laid the first hit. He understood his size. He used his strength last night. He looked real dangerous last night. And I think, for the most part, he understood that he can't sit back and expect AD to start it off. He got to go and let AD come on with him.
And lastly, just quick, you know one other thing the Clippers could use? Their best player pass. Zero assists can't happen, Kawhi. Sorry. I know certain guys are not supposed to criticize, and everyone got mad at me when I made a big deal pointing out that this year, Kawhi had his first double-digit assist game. That this year, he got his first and only career triple-double.
Well, he never one assist yesterday?
No.
No, zero.
No, a nice 27-2 and zero for Kawhi Leonard.
They tell you do what you do best, and that ain't what he do best.
Okay, well, it might not be what he does,
score.
What he does
what
best,
he do.
But what did you do best, Steven?
Everything.
Okay. All right, what was your biggest weakness?
My biggest weakness probably was
everything.
Dribbling.
But if the situation demanded it, you could beat a trap and dribble the ball.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay, situation demanded, Kawhi find some teammates for an easy bucket.
Yeah.
And zero assists? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Hold on.
Seems like it matters.
What I do best? Everything.
Steven, what was it? Say it again.
What I do best?
Yeah.
Everything.
You ain't lying.
Play drawing a blank. So Giannis will be out at least two games after spraining his knee in the Bucks loss to the Lakers Friday night. Nick, Bucks fans should feel blank about Giannis's injury.
Relieved that it's only a sprain. That looked bad, man. And a guy that tall falling that way for about 10 seconds there.
Hard.
I said, oh, what a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And so, obviously, you'd rather him be totally healthy, but that could have been horrible, Stack. So I say relieved is how they should feel.
I'm similar. I think they should feel at ease. It's not a serious injury. And like I said before, he gets some time to rest, which he hasn't had before. So it should be at ease.
I'm saying Golden State-esque.
Ooh.
What do you mean?
Well, we're on pace to win 70 games.
Yes.
We lose our star guy and like, whoops. Gonna lose to the Suns, 140-131.
Oh, yeah.
They are this far away. They are a meniscus away from being the worst team in the league.
No question.
Oh, well. Okay.
No question.
They had been shockingly good without Giannis until this weekend.
Okay, lost to the Suns.
Yeah.
And allowed That's their one, bounce back game.
Allowed 140 to the Suns, which is the most shocking
I'd be a little bit nervous.
Number one defense in basketball.
Golden State-esque. Speaking of Giannis, LeBron James is chasing the Greek Freak for MVP honors. The Kang handled the Bucks and Clippers this weekend to help his cause. Nick, LeBron's MVP chances after this weekend are blank.
You know what I'm feeling right here, other than this great suit? A heartbeat. Oh, very nice. Alive is my answer.
Thank God I wasn't sitting in the chair.
I wouldn't have done that to you.
Why don't you use your own heart?
What?
Why didn't you use your heart?
I felt like it inclusive.
But you could have used your own.
I could have used my
heart. Heartless.
I feel like it was more inclusive. Also, my mic
Better
is nearer
everyone
to my heart.
Okay.
Very alive. I do not think he's, if the season ended today, I don't think he's the MVP. But if the season ended 2 weeks ago, Giannis would have been the unanimous MVP. If the season ends today, it's close-ish, but Giannis wins. Now Giannis going to miss time. LeBron is on an absolute tear post-All-Star game. What's he done? Game winner against Boston. Shut down Giannis and the Bucks. Shut down Kawhi and the Clippers. He's making a strong case, so I say it's very alive.
After this weekend, it's concrete. I've already said he was the MVP. He's playing like it. I think this weekend, just put it in concrete. He's definitely the MVP.
If I could do the laugh, I would. I'm going to say Jadakiss-esque.
No, that's good. You got it. Do it again.
Jada put out a new album on Friday, put it on the train. You're like,
you know what? Yes, he did.
He's a little bit older, but this guy's really, really still good.
He's reminded me of LeBron. One of the best.
About 18 years ago, I was at a gentleman's club in Kansas City with Jadakiss, Steven Jackson. That's a true story.
Okay.
He's a legend.
That's just one story time.
Thank you.
Story time.
Yeah, no problem.
With Nick Wright. On to the Pelicans.
We don't need it.
I was hoping to pull some gentleman club stories out of Steven Jackson with that.
Okay.
He didn't bite.
Stay focused on Lonzo Ball.
He could have bit.
Stay focused on Lonzo Ball's out of here.
The Lonzo to Zion connection hitting an all-time stride with the two pairing up for these long-range alley-oops yesterday. So, Nick, Lonzo Ball's alley-oops to Zion were blank.
Perfect.
Oh, nice.
They were perfect passes. They were perfect moments. It was, I can't believe they did it twice. When I saw the clip on my Twitter feed, because I wasn't watching this game live, I assumed it was the same play. And then I looked at it again. I'm like, wait, he's on different places on the court. No. Two different plays just in quick succession. Perfect. Lonzo's great at this. And maybe the third best deep passer in the league, LeBron, Kevin Love, Lonzo, and Zion's the best at this in the league, so they're perfect to me.
I couldn't use perfect, so I'm going to use bonding. It's helping them bond even
Ooh,
more.
Oh, I like that.
I think, you know, Lonzo is showing a lot of his J-Kid skills with his passing, and I think the lobs and all this is helping the chemistry between these two guys, and it can make them better going on.
Stack, what do you think about this? This is a hot take, coming out hot. Larry O'Brien-esque.
And he's into the esques this morning.
Yeah, a lot of esques.
It's a theme.
Ooh. No, but I was watching. I know they're not going to make the playoffs, so I'm like, this team looks really good. It looks what are they in 12th place? They're like
they can make the playoffs. Well, no, now all of a sudden they're ninth.
Well, now they're ninth, but they're four back.
Yeah. Yep.
When are you going to put them on contender status?
They're on contender status now. The team in the
eighth. No, for the championship.
Oh, it's going to be a while. It's going to be a while.
I'm going to say 3 years.
It's going to be a while.
2 years?
It's going to be a while.
3 years?
It's going to be a while.
No, come on, Stack.
Keep going. Let's keep going.
AD not there no more. Remember that.
That looks good.
On to the Houston Rockets now. They lost to the Magic by 20 yesterday to extend their losing streak to four games. People starting to question this small ball formula. Nick, the Rockets' four-game losing streak is blank.
An abomination.
There you go.
It's all my fault.
What is it again?
An abomination.
It's really bad.
It's nice.
It doesn't work.
They had lost five straight games that I was in attendance for, dating back last couple years. And then I go to the Knicks game, and they're down 19 in the third quarter, almost come back and win. And that somehow is the best they've played this week, a loss to the Knicks. They get annihilated by the Clippers. The Bobcats, the Hornets, start the game up 20-0. In video games, you got past the sticks. Game over, 20-0. And then they're down 30 throughout to Orlando. It was the worst week of basketball maybe any team has played in the league all year. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to say.
It doesn't work.
Okay, well, I think that's too strong, but go ahead.
I got not surprising. I'm not surprised.
I saw it coming.
Yeah, I saw it coming. The moves they made, they brought in Covington. You brought in guys that can't score. You brought in more defenders. I could see if you was building that team to play against the Warriors. The Warriors not playing right now. You got to build a team to play the Lakers and other teams. They look bad. They have scoring. They have these two guys, but they have nothing else around them. They wasted all that money in Capella, ended up trading him and getting nothing for him.
Told you.
This is predicted. I knew they was going to go through a losing streak, and they're built to play against teams like the Warriors, not the Lakers. They don't have a chance this year.
No chance. That's what I'm saying.
No chance.
New Coke. There's been a tried and true formula that has worked since the peach basket era. We're gonna do something brand new, and it gets off hot, and they're like, uh-oh, this doesn't work at all.
And phony.
It doesn't work. Nick, it doesn't work. I don't know what we need to see. It doesn't work. We love Daryl, but like,
you call
doesn't work.
D'Antoni Dan Phony.
That's been his name for years. Dan Phony. He gets jobs and hasn't won nothing. Like, I don't
doesn't
understand.
Work.
You think it's D'Antoni and not what Daryl Morey's putting together?
He put the right guys, but he's not a defensive coach. And he don't have the guys around him to coach defense. They can score a lot of points, but they can't guard anybody. And you bring defensive players in that still can't guard anybody.
After the Clippers loss, I said the Rockets stock was at its low
point. You were still willing to buy.
I would buy it. I also, at the same day, bought some actual stock in the real stock market, thinking it was at its low point.
Yeah.
I was wrong on both. Both just continue to tank even further.
So you're buying still?
The way you win is buy low, sell high. It's not going to get any lower than this. Yeah, it'll get better. I'll buy. Yeah, I'll buy.
Talk to us again next Wednesday.
I'll buy.
Okay. LeBron and Patrick Beverley got into a scuffle during yesterday's Lakers-Clippers game. After the loss, this guy's the best. Patrick Beverley said, guarding LeBron, not hard at all. In fact,
love it.
You watched it. He said it twice.
Yeah, he did.
Nick, Beverly saying guarding LeBron is not hard at all twice is blank.
Adorable.
Oh, stop it.
It is so adorable, Patrick Beverly. It's cute. I just want to pat you on the head. Like, you're trying so hard. And listen, I know Pat from back in Houston. He came from the dirt. He was in Russia.
Got himself now
a couple legitimate NBA contracts because of this is who he is. So I know he's got to be who he is. But it is so cute. I mean, it's just so adorable, Patrick Beverly.
He got too much pride. I mean, he's supposed to say that. He's not supposed to be like, oh, he's impossible to guard. He's not supposed to say that. Of course, he's supposed to say certain things, but that was just too much pride. LeBron is hard to guard. I've guarded him. I've guarded Kobe. They're great, and they're all hard to guard. And basically, he should have said it's impossible because he can't guard him anyway. He probably saying that because LeBron didn't take any field goals on him yesterday, but it didn't matter. The Lakers still won the game.
I put Daniel Day-Lewis-esque.
Oh, great actor.
Yes, he's a method actor. And he is in his zone. Patrick Beverley's my favorite player in the league. I don't know what else you want him to say.
I love him.
He's in his zone. He's not moving. He said the same thing about Harden.
Yeah.
That's how you got to play, though. You got to
have
that's
what I'm saying. You got to play
like
that. Be locked in. And then when the season ends, he can be like, you actually are pretty good.
He doesn't take a moment off that.
You need Patrick Beverley. You need a guy like Patrick Beverley on your team.
I love him.
You know who it was not hard to guard yesterday? Patrick Beverley.
One of three, 26 minutes.
Well, his job's to help his team win games. And he wouldn't, I mean.
His arch nemesis, Avery Bradley, showed up.
Yeah.
Back here with Stephen Jackson, talking Brooklyn Nets and what has become a relatively dysfunctional season for them. Many were left scratching their heads when the team parted ways with head coach Kenny Atkinson on Saturday. But a recent report says that Atkinson didn't want to coach KD Kyrie together. It is also being reported, gentlemen, Kyrie would prefer Ty Lue as the team's next head coach. All right, a lot swirling around here. Steven, what was your reaction?
These are your guys. KD.
It makes total sense. KD coming back next year, they're going to be a totally different team, totally different identity. And I didn't see this coach being the coach going forward. You have two guys, both NBA champions, both All-Stars, both some of the top players in this league. And the direction they're going, I can see them having a more experienced coach.
Frank Vogel came in and coached with LeBron and AD?
Mm-hmm. I think Frank Vogel, and I've been saying this for a while, Frank Vogel's the head coach, but...
Oh, but Jason Kidd.
Jason Kidd is really the head coach in Brooklyn?
In my mind.
Because if you come out the game and you have something to deal with in the game, you're going to J. Kidd before Vogel. J. Kidd actually played, so I'm pretty sure...
But you saw what was happening in Brooklyn.
Yes.
Can we call this what it is? Kyrie didn't like him, so he's gone.
Nobody did, to be honest.
By nobody, you might mean Kyrie and KD and DeAndre Jordan. The new guys might not have. Listen.
The young guys didn't have any room to complain.
Okay, yeah.
So that didn't mean they didn't like him.
Especially because they were developing.
Right.
Because the
and
Nets.
And he was playing them.
The Nets sold the culture above all else. And then, listen, this is the trade-off in the NBA. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but this is how it works. You can say we have this culture, we have this thing, we have this thing with the infrastructure we have built up. Unless you are the Spurs, that goes out the window the moment you bring in guys of Kevin Durant, to a lesser extent, Kyrie Irving's caliber, and then your culture is whatever the hell they say it is. And they wanted DeAndre Jordan to start. They thought it was a big three. I think they have drastically, in their own minds, overstated where DeAndre is at where he is in his career compared to Jared Allen. But whatever. Kenny Atkinson wouldn't bend on it. He's gone. And who started this weekend? DeAndre Jordan.
Smart.
Okay, fine. You can say that. But I don't think it's fair that KD is getting lumped in on this. KD hasn't gone through a single practice with Kenny Atkinson. Hadn't done a drill. Hadn't played in a game. Kyrie has. And I think KD is leaning on Kyrie on what he feels on it, said, nah, this ain't the guy. So, and this idea that, well, he didn't want to be there anymore. He didn't want to be there anymore because he knew he wasn't going to be there anymore. And he didn't have buy-in from the only people it matters. So that's the, if you're the boss somewhere and you bring in new employees who have more power than you and you know you're getting fired in a few months anyway, then yeah, sure, let me have a few extra months off, fine. But this is the Nets saying whatever culture we have built doesn't matter anymore, and it's just about these guys. And by the way, that's fine. That has worked in NBA history before, but let's be honest about what it is. Kyrie didn't want him there anymore. He's not there anymore.
But can we trust Kyrie? Like, this has happened. Magic Johnson did it. Jordan did it to Doug Collins. LeBron did it to David Blatt.
Are you putting Kyrie in, lumping in with those guys?
Look, he got fired, and then... Oh, Kyrie, or something started to trend. And everyone's mad at Kyrie. Oh, culture killer Kyrie. Like, no, what about like champion Kyrie? Like, this guy doesn't work. We're not going to get to a championship with him. Let's move on and get somebody else in. And I know Ty Lue's name's been floated. I don't know how real it is. Mm-hmm. But people love Ty Lue. I've never heard a bad word about Ty Lue. So if they can get Ty Lue in and they are also champion, and they win the championship, we'll be like, oh, but what about Kenny Atkinson's feelings?
Right. But it makes sense. But like you said, KD should be in this factor. This team ain't going to war without KD.
Agreed.
So his input should be more important just as anybody, because he's going to be the best player on this team.
No, I agree entirely. My point is, I think KD's opinion on this is influenced greatly by Kyrie's, because Kyrie's actually played in the games, been through all of it, while KD's been there but not playing. So, yeah, of course, KD. Listen, if KD says, I want Kenny, then Kenny's there. We all know this, right?
I guarantee you, but it's just not them. It's trust me, it's a big decision from the people up top. They know that this coach wasn't, they can put it on Kyrie, they can say the players did it. The office, people upstairs made this decision.
Because
Kyrie and KD didn't say you're fired.
Like
the people upstairs made decisions because they know going forward, his personality, he's not the guy for this team.
Okay.
If you want to win, you got to make a decision.
Listen, and I think Ty Lue's excellent. And I think Ty Lue would be a great hire for them. And I'm not saying this is the wrong thing. But with respect, Kyrie ain't Magic. He ain't LeBron. Come on. Like, the idea that Kyrie Irving has I don't want to say earned the right.
Kevin Durant can do this. He's definitely earned the right.
Is it possible
LeBron don't have a championship if it wasn't for Kyrie.
And Kyrie's only even been on a team that won anything next to LeBron. Every other spot, it's been coach gone, and we're not any good. That's the fact of the matter. And so they are buying into a KD Kyrie-led culture. Okay.
You should.
Fine, but let's be honest about what it is.
Players play games. Coaches coach.
That's fine. But that's what it is.
In or out, the Cowboys reportedly offer Dak Prescott $33 million a year with $105 million guaranteed. Nick, you went around on Dak being worth $105 million guaranteed.
It's very rare I say this. This is a perfectly fair contract, correctly valued in today's market I'm in. This is exactly where I would be comfortable Dak being. Again, you have to, just like you have to adjust for inflation, you have to adjust for what the market across the league is. And to me, this is the equivalent of the per year and guarantees Kirk Cousins got if we prorate it to 3 years later. You know, what the market was then, what it is now. Dak is exactly in that tier of quarterback, Kirk Cousins tier. This is the exact type of contract I would be offering Dak. So yeah, I think it's smart by the Cowboys. I think he thinks he can get more, but I'm in. I think that's exactly right for them.
I'm in as well, and I think this is the minimum that he should be asking for, 105, because when I see Carson Wentz get 108, and I think if you're Dak, you're saying, I've been more available than Carson Wentz. I've won more games than Carson Wentz. Jared Goff got 110. You can kind of make the same argument. I've been more available. I've won more games than Jared Goff, and hopefully I can get closer to some of those numbers if I'm Dak Prescott. And so that's what I would be arguing for. I think the minimum from him should be 105.
So does that $3 million matter?
Well, absolutely. Your pride
But is it a pride thing or is it a financial thing?
I think it's a pride thing. I mean, listen, if you get $105 million guarantee versus $108 or $110, it's not going to make a difference in the long run as far as money. But I think as your pride, it does make a big difference, especially at the quarterback position.
Here's the other reason it matters for the team. Depending on how the contract's structured, that guarantee determines when you can move off that player.
Right.
So like Jimmy Garoppolo, we could say, well, what's an extra $8 million guaranteed, whatever it is? If he had that, then this idea that he could be moved this year with just a $4 million cap hit changes. So it's like that guaranteed money, at some point that bill's due. And so I think that's why the teams stay firmer on that than per year salary, because they want, if it doesn't work well, to be able to move off you.
Still a lot of money. On to the Panthers now. They're reportedly expected to, quote, tank for Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence in 2021. Brian Westbrook, you went around on the Panthers tanking for treasure. Trevor also is what I was
He would be a treasure.
I think Trevor Lawrence is a great player, but I'm out. And here's the reason why. I think the Panthers need to set up things around whatever quarterback that they're going to get, not this year, the following year. And so in 2 years, not when Trevor Lawrence comes out. I think you have to have your offensive line set. You have to have some weapons around him. You also have to have your defensive line set. And I'm not sure that they're at the place now that they can get Trevor Lawrence in a year and say, now we're ready to go win. You gave Matt Rhule a 7-year contract. That means you're willing to give him time to win. I think you set things up first before you get yourself a quarterback.
So I disagree with that, but I'm also out. I think Trevor Lawrence, superstar. If I had the number 2 pick of the draft next year, I would do the Ricky Williams trade. I'd trade you all my picks to move up one spot to get Trevor Lawrence. I think he's going to be extraordinary. The reason I'm out is you can't tank in the NFL.
That's what I'm.
It's impossible. But the news to me here is if this is their plan, then Cam's available, America. Chicago, make a phone call. New England, make a phone call. You can't tank with Cam on your team. So if that is the plan, but everyone said the Dolphins were going to tank.
Yeah.
They ended up with the fifth pick of the draft. They won five games and beat New England the final week of the year.
It's hard to tank in the NFL. It's also hard for superstar quarterbacks to go into a bad situation that are not set up for your success and actually win.
Tua or Trevor, Nick?
Trevor.
Yeah, really?
I think Trevor is
better than Tua.
No, I think Trevor is the next surefire, no doubt, can't miss first overall pick. Yeah, no question marks
love
about
he's
him.
On that court.
Except for the hair. I don't love the hair.
What?
What?
I don't love the hair.
That's a terrible take.
We need to stop the show immediately.
Speaking of quarterbacks with great hair.
No, that's actually not the case. Super Bowl MVP went on HBO's The Shop, admitted he didn't know how to read defenses until last season. Brian Westbrook, you in or out on Mahomes admitting this on national television?
Well, I'm in. I mean, it obviously hasn't affected his game. He's still one of the most dynamic young players that we have. He's a guy that got it done. He just won a Super Bowl. And you're telling me if this guy just figured out how to learn to read defenses and now he's in the Super Bowl winning the MVP, the future continues to be bright for Patrick Mahomes.
Did you feel that?
Oh, boy, this is going to be something.
It was,
oh boy.
It was shivers going up the spines of 31 defensive coordinators in the NFL when they saw this clip.
I didn't feel
they
that.
They said, oh, I felt it. You didn't feel it? Saturday evening when this debuted with my buddy Maverick Carter on HBO, they was just like, what? Midway through the year? That's when you learned?
Right.
And by the Super Bowl, you're like, yo, let's run Wasp on them to win the damn Super Bowl down 10. Yeah, you should be scared, America.
I don't believe this either, though. I think this is a little talk. I just think that we, of course, I can't read
you're
defenses.
Calling Patrick Mahomes a
liar. Just going out there and having the best, a couple of the best seasons in the league history when I can't read defenses.
Take it back.
Hey, come on.
Take it back.
I'm in, by the way, obviously.
This is showmanship.
Take it back.
This has nothing to do with his ability to read defenses. Andy Reid would not have him as his quarterback if he can't read defenses.
On to New England now.
Sorry.
So an anonymous NFC assistant coach.
An anonymous NFC assistant coach.
Yep.
We're hanging storylines off of this
said
now.
Yeah. They think the Patriots will take several steps back if Tom
God. You wish, anonymous person.
Is respected, but Brady is revered.
Oh.
Nick, you went around on Brady deserving more credit than Belichick for the Patriots dynasty. It's okay, whatever.
Yeah. Of course I'm in.
Oh, God, you guys are the worst.
You give Belichick more credit than Brady?
No, I just think the whole thing is a farce.
Okay, well, listen, you're emotional and I get it.
I'm not emotional. Why would you say it? Stop.
Of course not. Listen.
Got a tie on. I'm not
emotional.
Neither
one of these guys would have won six championships without the other. Mm-hmm. I understand that and I acknowledge that. And Belichick is the greatest ever at what he does. But the key to all of it is Brady. He is what unlocks everything, especially this last decade when the league has gone pass. So, of course, I'll take the dominant player. I will take Jordan over Jackson. I'll take Russell over Arbach. I'll take Montana over Walsh. I'll take Brady over Belichick. I'm in.
I'm out. And I think the first few championships, it was Belichick and that defense and what they did on the defensive side of the ball. And they carried Tom Brady, even though he's the greatest of all time. They carried him just a little bit those first couple championships. And when you talk about the latter part, I think Tom has gotten it done. And so that it's kind of shifted just a bit. But I would be out on this, just saying that Brady deserves more credit.
Okay. I'm out by 1,000,000,000%. I'm out on this storyline of trying to divide the team.
It's not like dividing the team.
Yes, it is. There's chambers of your heart. Is it the left chamber or the right chamber is more important? They're both important. They make the whole system
ventricle?
Run.
What? Ventricle.
Left.
Left ventricle.
Left.
Got it.
I don't know.
Here with Steven Jackson talking Lakers and LeBron James, who had himself a weekend. Friday night against Giannis and the league-leading Milwaukee Bucks, 37-8-8 to get the win. Yesterday against Kawhi and the Red Hot Clippers, 28-7-9 for another win. We haven't even mentioned that TikTok video. I mean, that got the whole thing started.
You're
That's
right.
11 of 12 wins for the Lakers. Frank Vogel called this the best two games as a Laker for LeBron. Mic dropped, statement made. Point taken. LeBron's pretty good. Here is the king after Friday night's win.
I mean, I came here to put this team and put this franchise back where they needed to be. The league is not what it is if the Lakers are not winning. And that was one of my responsibilities and one of my goals when I came here. And last year, I wasn't able to fulfill that. Hurt me to my heart to go down December 25th with the groin injury that I had. Knock on wood. But, you know, I said, congratulations to Kuz and AC for their first time. They'll be in the postseason. And it's just anytime throughout the course of a season, when you have little milestones, you're able to acknowledge that. And it's a good step in the direction for the franchise.
It's a lot on his shoulders, Nick. What do you make of what LeBron had to say?
Well, he's absolutely right, and he's done it. And it's not over. Mm-hmm. You got to make the finals. You got to win the title. And that'll obviously happen in short order. And this is another instance where I just wonder if people go back and look at some of the things they say and say, well, that was dumb. Like, I have to do that sometimes. I was on live television, one of my first times ever, filling in for Colin Cowherd, the day Kevin Durant picked the Warriors. And I said, Warriors shouldn't have done it. Just won 73 games, this close to winning the title. They're remaking their team. Should have stayed where they were. And I look back and I'm like, that was a bad take.
Why
would
you
take.
Say that?
It was a bad take. Listen.
Who would have thought?
I've got either. I
You're
sat
probably
here,
the only person said that, too.
I sat here when Carson Wentz got hurt. And I said, there's 9 teams that can win the Super Bowl. Philadelphia now no longer one of them. And a few weeks later, Philadelphia at their parade is tweeting out a clip of me saying they can't win the Super Bowl. So sometimes we get things wrong. But I try not to make the same mistake again and again. And there's a group of folks that just like to be wrong about LeBron every time. And I'm old enough to remember he's going to L.A. because he cares more about movies. And then while he's making a movie, he has him build a basketball court so he can work out every day at 3:30 in the morning.
So does Adam Sandler. Like,
okay, all right, sure. I'm old enough to remember LeBron is killing what the Lakers are building by trying to force them into trading their young core for Anthony Davis. How's that working out? And I'm old enough to remember LeBron James is too passive in this coaching search, doesn't care, and is checked out because Magic has left. How'd that work out? And I'm old enough to remember LeBron James in year 17 coming off a first major injury. It's unfair to expect MVP-level production from him that we all need to acknowledge he's onto a different phase of his career. How's that working out? And so, yeah, LeBron believed he could do it. A few of us believed he could do it, and for everyone else, he's proven him wrong. And he by picking the Lakers stack, he did pick one of the only teams where it is simply anything short of a championship's a failure. Mm-hmm. It's not get us to our first finals. Right. It's not get us. It's no. We've got more banners than anybody, so get us another one. And he's well on his way to doing it.
Well, let me go back. I don't know why you thought that KD going to the Warriors was bad.
It was bad take.
I don't know why you thought the Philadelphia's going to be bad. Foles' history has proven he was
a
better
take.
Starter.
Not talking, don't
okay, it was a bad take.
We don't I'm just saying, it was history proven he's better than a starter.
I got it. It was a bad take.
I'm first team all common sense. That's
okay.
All.
Okay, all right, that's fine. It's a bad take.
LeBron, I just feel like where they're going and what he's doing is special. He went there, like I said, not for MVPs. He knew that to cement his legacy as being close to the best player that he's ever been of all time, he has to win the championship in a Laker uniform. And that's the only thing that can get him close to Michael Jordan is to win the championship in a Laker uniform. That's all he was focused on. Now, you saying banners, he was talking about winning at first because there wasn't winning. Now that they're winning, now he's talking about championships. He didn't come in talking about championships because it wasn't a championship team.
He knew year one was not going to be a championship
team. Right, right.
Unless they traded for Anthony Davis.
So you're saying my point. He didn't come in talking about championships. He wanted to get the team back to a winning feel first. Now it's about championships, and now he understands that's going to help his legacy.
Stack, when you were playing, were you looking at different teams like, I want to play for that team? Yeah, I want to put on this jersey?
Coming in, no. Coming in, I wanted to just be in. I just wanted to be in the NBA. After a while, after I made a name for myself and had a 20-point season, then I started figuring out what's the best situation for me and where I wanted to play. But I didn't really have to because I played for great coaches in my career. So wherever I landed, it was a good spot for me, except Milwaukee.
When you look at, like, when...
Eat that, Milwaukee.
Scott Skiles was the worst.
Oh, stop.
No, he's
the
bad.
Worst.
He's bad. He's right. He had a 30-assist game, but he's
great.
He's a good moment. He's a player.
When LeBron's talking, when you look at a franchise, think us from the outside look at sort of the history, and I found that players look at management and, like, the Buss family. How does that factor into him wanting to be a Laker?
Well,
for you, I don't
know. Newsflash. Half the players on a roster don't even know who the owner is. They might know the name because they've seen
the
him.
Buss, you don't think the Buss family, it's different for the... Like, I'm not sure the Busses run the Lakers differently.
Well, I played in San Antonio, and the Hope family were real involved. But we probably only seen them at games or at events. You really... A lot of... Like, the guy that doesn't play, they won't get a chance to shake their owner hand. They won't know the owner. And that's just how it is. It's just the harsh truth. A lot of guys don't even know who the owner is.
But when you ask about whether players know who the owner... There's something different about LeBron. I don't remember another player who understands his place in the sport, his place in the history of the sport, and where and his, what his legacy means to the sport until they're done playing the sport. LeBron goes in every night and he talks about it. I have a commitment, you know, to play every night so people can, fans can see me. I have a commitment to take this, you know, team to the next level. The organization of the Lakers to bring them a championship. He's cognizant of all of that.
Furthermore, Jenna, the part of LeBron's commitment that you left out, but I imagine is the one that you like the most and you have the most appreciation for, is the only way this is possible in year 17 is a tireless and almost unprecedented commitment to his body, conditioning, and health. That LeBron is averaging the fewest minutes of his career this year. It would be the most minutes Kawhi's ever played in any season per game.
I mean, that's incredible.
He this weekend.
You got it out for Kawhi, boy.
They played this weekend.
Where were you last year? Where were you talking?
Kawhi was unbelievable for a month last year.
I
gave him full credit. But LeBron this weekend, Jenna, went up against a guy, Giannis, 10 years younger than him, and a guy, Kawhi, who's been in the league roughly half as many years. And who looked fresher at the end of those games?
Yeah, LeBron.
Who looked more ready for the moment at the end of those games? That don't happen by accident. Not at this point in his career. We can say early on, touched by God, you know, physical freak, all these things. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But the only way this happens in year 17, where Jordan had been retired for 2 years, Bird had been retired for 4 years, only Kobe and Kareem and Karl Malone were anywhere close to all-star level players in year 17. At the end of year 17 for Kobe, fortunately he popped his Achilles. Kareem, that was his final year averaging 20. For Karl Malone, that was his final, it was 1 year removed from his last All-NBA appearance. They were all in the downtick. This is one of LeBron's finest seasons ever. That only happens with a year-long commitment to being this level of athlete, which is why I found the whole, he's more focused on making game shows narrative so laughable.
I forgot about that.
Because planning this era has helped him too.
Oh, absolutely.
The game is not as nowhere close as physical. Playing in that era, that'll take 5 years off your career.
Yeah, okay. But
just facts.
But don't.
It's just facts, bro.
The flip side to that is playing in that era for a guy as physically dominant as him, where you're allowed to be more physical, would play more into his hands. An era that was less about shooting, when shooting's been of his offensive game probably his weakest part. That part probably plays more into his style of play than this era
you
does.
You can't measure hitting the floor and getting slammed to the floor. You can't measure that. That take a lot out of a lot of people. The strongest guy, if he hit the floor and get fouled, that'll take the heart out of him. So you never know how that'll play out.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern.